thanks to our sponsor, AvePoint.
If you like the Microsoft Cloud Show, you'll love the Shift Happens podcast with MVP and regional director Dux Raymond Tsai. Each week, Dux talks with one of the industry's brightest stars about their most challenging modern workplace or digital transformation project. He uncovers the players, organizational hurdles, and last-minute surprises that inevitably rise when ambitious people try to impact their workspace. Season 1 features FedEx, Wells Fargo, Heathrow Airport, United Airlines, and other industry leaders. Go to avpoint.com/blog/shifthappens or search for the hashtag #ShiftHappens. That's one word, Shift Happens. Wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe today. This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 377, where today, CJ and I sat down to talk to Jeff Teeper with Microsoft at Ignite 2020, recorded live September the 22nd, 2020. Thanks to our sponsor, ShareGate. Does managing cloud spending keep you awake at night? Trying to figure out how your budget is being spent is enough to give anyone goosebumps. Our friends at ShareGate understand that most cloud architects and developers want to create great applications, not count dollars and cents. That's why they built ShareGate Overcast, to help admins control Azure costs through transparency, collaboration, and simplicity. With anomaly detection, AI-powered cost forecasting, as well as personalized cost recommendations, and a unified Azure governance platform, you'll see results from the moment you connect Overcast to your tenant. To start a free trial of ShareGate Overcast so you can get back to building big ideas, visit ShareGate.com/overcast_CS. Back to the show. Good evening, CJ.
Yeah, it's late afternoon for me and evening for you. So yeah, it's a little different than our normal recording time.
It is. My stomach is growling right now. I can smell that dinner's going on downstairs. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting something to eat. But how's it going this week?
Pretty good. The smoke has left the scene. We now have blue sky again. So I'm breathing a little easier and it's good.
Man, we've dealt with wildfires, forest fires, whatever in Florida before. And that is not fun. It is.
It's nasty business.
It is not fun. We're lucking out right now. It's the first day of fall and it actually feels like fall, which I know everybody's going to roll their eyes at me, but I went for a run today. I wasn't supposed to, but I went on my schedule. I went for a run just because it was in the low 70s and it was breezy. And we just got through with two hurricanes passing us by. A nor'easter this weekend, so we've gotten like 12 inches of rain the last 2 weeks. I wish we could have given that to some of you guys on the West Coast. But it's dry. It's like 15-mile-an-hour like breeze going back and forth. So it feels great. It's in the low 70s. It's like, oh my God, we're not ran 4 miles and barely even broke a sweat. It's like, I miss this so much.
Yeah, if we could just, hey, 2020, if you're listening, if you could just stop with all of this crazy stuff. Mm. We've had like pandemics and fires and hurricanes and you name it. Oh, for those in the US, Supreme Court justices dying.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Like the whole, it never seems to stop. It's just one thing after another, you know?
That's good. Well,
if you could just tie ho, it's late in the year. Let's just give it up.
Stop looking backwards, man. Vegas has got to start putting odds on new things. Like, when are we going to get another polar vortex with a massive avalanche coming all the way through Montana down into Kansas? I mean,
right after the killer bees leave.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Have you been, today was the first day of the Microsoft Ignite virtual conference. Have you been tuning in?
Not yet. I've been waiting for the recorded sessions, I must admit. So tomorrow will be a little different though. I'm going to tune in for some of those keynotes in the morning, but I've waited to watch the keynotes for the recorded version. Just logistics and meetings and things like that have gotten in the way. So not yet, although I did tune in to a session Chris McNulty and Naomi Moneypenny were doing on Project Cortex. Mm-hmm. So that was the first live session I think they're all recorded, but they played at a particular time of the day.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's interesting because, I believe everything is recorded. There's a little bit of like MC stuff that is that like where they've done like a host kind of a thing. I saw Caruana was hosting with somebody and they were looking at stuff that was live on Twitter. It was clear it was definitely live on Twitter.
Yeah. So sort of a mixture of live and recorded.
Yeah, but everything else was very much, was all recorded demos and stuff. So, I mean, you know, it was nice because no demos broke. That was one of the nice things that I saw. I watched Satya's, I watched Jared Spataro for Microsoft 365. I watched Jeff Teeper's as well. It's going well. They're doing good. You can tell they've had some lessons learned from the Build conference and from the Inspire conference. But You know, you and I, we want to sit down. We're going to take a good rehash and look at Ignite once Ignite is all over. But today we did something a little bit different. Today, you know, 4 years ago at Ignite 2016, I sat down. You weren't able to join us on this due to scheduling stuff back then. I think this was your launch event. Yeah, this was like your first big launch event for Hyperfish.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah. 2016 was, yeah, basically 1 year since the founding of Hyperfish when we launched the product. Well, it was the first sort of big event where we launched the product.
Yeah, that's right. We were down in Atlanta at Ignite, and I sat down with Jeff Teepert, who's the corporate vice president of Microsoft Teams, OneDrive, and SharePoint. At least now he is. Back then, Teams wasn't around. And I remember we had a great chat. I think it was the last day or so. But, I mean, that was almost 200 episodes ago, which part of it's like pinched me like, oh my God, I can't believe it. That was episode 377. It's in the show, 156. That was in the show notes. Today is 377. And we reached out to Jeff again to say, you know, hey, look, you're not running back and forth in different meetings and having to run from the East Conference Hall in Orlando to the West Conference Hall and trying to find, you know, duck into a restroom that's got 60 guys in the line. And you don't have to, you got a few minutes, we can sit down, we can chat and catch up about what's, you know, top of mind on you with what's going on and stuff at Ignite. And so that's what we did today.
That was actually pretty funny when Jeff joined the Teams meeting that we used to record this. You know, he sort of said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a couple of minutes late. I've just run from the west end of the conference center.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to make it sort of feel like an in-person thing. So it was nice.
Exactly, yeah. So he didn't have to come into the session like all sweaty from going through the Florida humidity and everything. Or I guess this year was supposed to be New Orleans, which I don't want to say the pandemic worked out well, but I mean, they've been having a couple hurricanes that have come close or at least been threatening. So I'm sure that I wouldn't be surprised if there was someone in the Microsoft like event logistics side that's just kind of like, you know, I don't want to say the pandemic hit at the right time or that it's a good thing, but that's a little bit of stress of going, okay, I'm not dealing with hurricane stuff right now. So I guess that's kind of good. So,
yeah, I mean, remember there was an Ignite in Orlando that almost didn't go ahead because of a hurricane like 2 weeks prior or something like that. Like it was really down to the wire.
As someone who lives in Florida, I remember that one very closely. That was Irma that came up the entire state and they were using the conference center as the staging point for all the National Guard helicopters coming in and out to rescue people and get ice and water to everybody.
Yeah. That was a close call. Yeah. So, yeah.
That was a close call. But yeah, so today we sat down, we talked to Jeff. This may not be the interview that you're expecting. This isn't the interview about, hey, let's rehash every single feature that you talked about in your keynote today and what things are really most exciting here. We started with a little bit of that, but we wanted to, you know, I like being able to, you know, to have an opportunity to talk to him, find out like, you know, what's the stuff that you don't normally hear them talk about? What's it like how the pandemic has been affecting your team, lowercase t, your team and having to run a large team and especially not just running a large team all remote, but having to do it in the middle, you know, forcing everything to be remote, not like, hey, we're going to try to do this remote. It's like you're forced with a huge amount of pressure coming in from outside of people wanting to use your services and really not missing a beat. I mean, you got a little hiccup here and there. You got a service or two that was intentionally degraded or like disabled for a little bit to spare the service. But it has been pretty darn impressive to me, like how Teams and SharePoint and OneDrive has held up and really held up, thrived, and has still been delivering a ridiculous amount of features over the last 6 months.
Yeah, I really liked that about this interview, that Jeff gave us a bit of a peek behind the curtains on what it's really been like leading the team through this crazy time in the world. Everything, like you said, from working remote to scaling a huge service to being brand new on the team as well. Like he was only 2 weeks into the job or something. And so, yeah, you know, hearing from him about how that's all played out behind the scenes and giving us a bit of that background was really interesting and great to hear. So I hope everybody else enjoys it too.
Absolutely. Well, you know, without further ado, we're going to go ahead and roll the interview with Jeff. And next week, CJ and I will be back to give a little bit of a recap and some thoughts about the Microsoft Ignite 2020 conference. This episode is sponsored by Raygun.
Have you ever wondered if you could be offering a faster, less buggy application experience for your customers? With Raygun Application Performance Monitoring, you have all the information you need at your fingertips to find and fix errors and performance problems across your tech stack down to the line of code. With Raygun, monitor the impact of your performance improvements, quickly identify and resolve issues, and see how your code performs in the hands of your customers, saving you time, money, and sanity. I've personally used Raygun and Hyperfish for the last 4 years to help me sleep better at night, knowing the customers we've worked so hard to get are having a great experience. We use Raygun to alert engineers proactively so that we can be the ones to tell customers when we've fixed the problem instead of them calling us to say something's wrong. Raygun.com is my secret weapon in shipping high-quality code. Check it out at Raygun.com and get up and running in minutes.
This podcast is brought to you by Nintex. If you could score an extra hour or two back in your day, wouldn't you take it? Because our friends at Nintex want to give you a gift, the gift of time. Seriously, if you haven't checked out what Nintex has to offer lately, you should. The platform built on Azure has evolved a lot. In just the past few months, the Nintex team has added new process mapping capabilities, and most recently, a new e-sign capability called Nintex Sign, powered by Adobe Sign. Nintex also continues to revolutionize products that you know and trust, including Nintex Workflow and Forms. With the power of Nintex, it is faster and easier for you to configure, not code, giving you valuable time back every day to spend it how you want. Test drive the Nintex Process Cloud at Nintex.com. And we're back. All right, today we've been joined by Jeff Teeper from Microsoft. Jeff is the Corporate Vice President for Microsoft Teams, OneDrive, and SharePoint. Jeff, welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show.
Hey, Andrew. Hey, CJ. It's great to be here again.
Thanks for joining us on the show.
The last time we sat down and talked to you, was episode 156 back in Atlanta in 2016 after another Ignite conference that we had down there. I didn't realize it was so long ago. I felt like it was just a couple of years ago, like a year or two ago. And sit down and now we're at 377. So it's almost been 200 episodes since we had a chance to chat. But
good for you guys for staying at it that long. That's awesome.
Hey, thank you very much. But there's been a little bit of stuff that's been going on in the Microsoft 365 space in the last couple of years since we last talked, I guess. And I'm not going to ask you to rehash what's going on in the last 4 years because there's been quite a bit of stuff here. But we wanted to catch up with you today. From earlier today, your session at Ignite 2020 was aired. You talked a lot about Microsoft Teams, a lot about SharePoint and OneDrive investments. Big news, too, around Project Cortex and one of the big pieces of that coming to customers pretty soon. I guess, you know, before we really get started with this, you know, what is really like top of mind to you from a lot of the announcements that you had today that you talked about in your session that you think might be interesting to the Microsoft 365 crowd?
Yeah. So one thing, you know, one overall arc on this year, obviously, is COVID and the pandemic, that it has been, you know, it's a real tragedy and challenge, but it's also been a catalyst to get people to think about working differently, including the adoption of the latest cloud tools. And so it's really a different world than when we chatted in 2016, where there, you know, there was a little bit of, you know, when's that coming to on-prem? I haven't heard that. It's 3.12 on the first day. We're not doing an on-prem update. We are, gosh. But I think, you know, very much front and center for everybody is that the cloud gives them the agility to respond to all sorts of business events and catastrophes and support distributed work and so forth. And so that's, you know, that's one thing. And I think it was a privilege, but I think we also earned a lot of trust in the last 6 months and how we were able to scale Microsoft 365 and Azure. Not 100% flawless, but very, very good. And I think we earned some trust as well as got some feedback. So I think that's the most important thing and kind of front and center because we're not all in person. The second thing is the momentum we have around Teams, the idea that a communication tool you use for chat and meetings is where you live and is a hub for other applications. Ours, you know, Office, SharePoint, Planner, et cetera, but also third parties. You know, one of the things that was interesting today is we announced the availability of the Teams meeting extension. So just like you can extend a Office app or a SharePoint page or a Teams tab. You can extend the Teams meeting canvas for a line of business application and things like that. And so I think that, you know, probably the biggest thing we hit this morning is how we've responded not only to feedback, but I think done a lot of leapfrog innovation now in Teams. The one that's sort of most front and center is Together Mode. But we showed new scenes, new layouts, new controls, new meetings extensibility, something called Meeting Recap, where all the artifacts are collected together. And then one last thing that we're really proud of is we announced that Teams meeting recordings and Microsoft Stream are now going to be built on SharePoint, which means you get all the collaboration compliance capabilities of SharePoint, and the meetings experience is going to get richer than is available on the market from other folks because it's backed by a full-fledged content management system. So Teams as a hub is continuing that momentum was a big thing and a lot there. And then, you know, we spent time on in my session on collaboration and knowledge management and everything from intranet sites and just addressing tons of asks, but also some leapfrog things, you know, making it easy to navigate your SharePoint sites with a navigation bar, building a home site app so you could host your intranet in Teams. It's something people asked us for quite a while, and I'm pretty proud of the design work we did. You know, lists, I think our strategy on lists was quite clever, where we brought SharePoint lists forward, but we gave you a standalone app if you wanted a streamlined experience, and we integrated in Teams. So however you wanted the Lego block from us, it's the same Lego block. And then we... Yeah, you probably saw it, and then I'll sort of stop and you guys can take the next one. How I ended my session was sort of was something they wanted to put in the middle, and I said, no, it's the closer, which is this thing called Project Nucleus, which is an offline cache or SharePoint that works with modern progressive web application architecture that we've been using in our apps. And so you'll be able to work with a 200,000 item list offline with just our web app that will get smarter to take advantage of this better cache. So, you know, something for everybody, admin controls, developer platform, end user stuff, lots of Teams stuff. Teams is the focal point for what we're doing, particularly at a remote work period. But, you know, plenty of places where SharePoint's powering experiences across Microsoft 365, powering the new stream, powering meeting recordings, powering Nucleus, powering Syntex. So a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. So a lot of people, I've heard people, you know, call Teams the client in front of SharePoint. But I mean, it's, I had a talk with somebody the other day and they were saying, well, is SharePoint kind of going away? I was like, I don't think so. I think that this is still pretty darn healthy, pretty darn important. And they're making lots of investments there. And a lot of the stuff you talked about in your session, you know, really, really echoed that. A lot of things you just mentioned too, I'd love to unpack those things. I mean, Project Nucleus, I got to tell you, I love the fact that you finished your session with that instead of having that in the middle, because that was one of those things as you're going through the whole session at the very end, I'm like, wait. And I started just like jotting down a bunch of questions like, no, this can't be the Project Nucleus interview. So, but, you know, one of the things you started with a second ago, and I'm really curious by this, I guess CJ and I were talking about this earlier, is you talked about like the impact that COVID has had, not just on like on all of us, but, you know, we set aside the health impact to it, but the work that it's had or the impact it's had on all of our work lives, our day lives, and a lot of school lives too. I mean, I got two elementary school kids that are dealing with it as well. What has been like the biggest challenge, or what has it been the experience like of, first for you, having to switch to a fully remote experience? Yeah. Has it been something that has been like, you enjoy it, you embrace it? Of course, there's goods and bads with everything, but then also like, what is that challenge like in terms of running a big team and forcing yourself to be remote like this?
Yeah, and everybody's going through their own flavor of this challenge right now in their lives, and happy to share mine because we're all sort of trying to learn from each other. So I knew I was taking the Teams job for a little bit, but it wasn't official until February 25th, which was about 10 days before Microsoft went remote. And I think I decided with the LT that Teams would go remote 2 days in advance. Just we saw what was coming and got ready. And yeah, the first thing is nobody knew how long this would last, right? And then ambiguity, you know, we've never been through this, and so we don't know how this is going to work. And there were people at the beginning who would say 6 months or a year or 2 years and so forth. And then there were people who say, like, we'll just burn this down in a couple of weeks and then, you know, it'll be gone. And so that uncertainty, you know, we didn't know like anybody else. We certainly had a sense of what the worst case scenario might be. And fortunately, it's not been as bad as we had feared, but it's still been pretty bad. Sort of in my head, I'll go through the sort of order in which we process these things. One is we needed to scale the service. Microsoft 365 teams, we designed to be elastic. That's easy to do in theory. In practice, you have peak days when a new portal goes live or when back to school starts, but nothing like this, where in, you know, a few months, Teams meeting minutes were up 20-fold or something like that. So nobody runs their services at 5% utilization with 95% reserve. And in theory, you've architected these things for this scale. And in practice, we had, you know, the Azure team really came through. It's, you know, if this had happened 5 years ago, you know, I think for the world, we'd be in a different situation. But the Azure team, the Azure service is quite large. For them to reserve the whatever it was in the end, a million cores for Teams, fair number for SharePoint as well, was, you know, a scramble on everybody's part, but feasible. You know, we certainly through the first quarter or two of this kept taking whatever hardware we could get. But by and large, the service scaled. You know, we found some things to tweak here and there, but that was all consuming for the first month or so, because we didn't know how many people were going to show up. There was certainly more in a day than showed up in a month before. And so, you know, we had to do work in SharePoint, for example, where we had never built for the number of new users who would show up in a single day that were showing up in March. And so we had one provisioning pipe with redundancy, and we had to paralyze the number of new users through multiple queues. And software 101, you know, we now can add millions of users in a day if we need to. So that was the first part, and it was pretty all consuming. The second part was making sure the team was honestly healthy and supporting each other. We, you know, it became clear after the first couple of weeks we had to be in for the long haul. We couldn't burn everybody out. People were in a variety of situations. You know, there were some people who'd gotten sick. There were people whose family members had got sick. There were two income families or single parent families that had kids. You know, it's just, you know, we really had to rally to support each other and figure out who needed help, where did we need balancing in the work. You know, I would say a particular challenge for me is I had a ton of social capital on the SharePoint side. You know, some of those people I've known for 20 years, and I had a little bit of capital with the leadership on the team side. Some of those folks I've known for quite a while. But broadly, 80-90% of the Teams organization, you know, Brian McDonald, who founded Teams, was the father of Teams, kind of like I had the history with SharePoint. Mm-hmm. And so it was a big change for Brian to leave. And the handoff was awesome. And Brian still comes in periodically. In fact, he was in virtually last week or two to meet with the teams and meet with me. But still, we had decisions to make. And they're like any large organization with over 1,000 people, there are things you get the consensus on, and then there's things you don't, either because they're hard, you want their cake and eat it too, or, you know, you got finite time or people, all these software things. And, you know, I just had to try to be a good listener and say, okay, we're going to make a decision now. Let me tell you the process by which we're going to make it. And here's what I'm thinking if I have to break the tie, and give me frank feedback, and then we're going to, you know, commit and go. And so I think the team's leadership team is really excellent, really, really excellent. And so I think we worked through that phase. And then the third phase, to be honest, is we had to move faster, a lot faster on meetings. Without going into too much detail, the team's client architecture was evolving in a way where we were going to have a big bang, probably right about now, of a set of features that were going to come together, because it was the most efficient way to get some of these things out, like, you know, 7x7 video. And clearly, that wasn't going to respond well to either customers or competitive dynamics. And so we went back to the drawing board, and some things that we were going to do on the client, we wound up doing in the server because it was easier to ship them. And AC, he'll appreciate this. There's chunks of the team client that was historically done in Angular. We're moving to React. We didn't want to do some features in the old part of the Angular code base because it would be throwaway work. And you know what? We just did it. So we had three hot forks of teams going on for a while that was really super time to market, very customer driven, not very efficient from an engineering standpoint. But I'm really, really proud. I mean, we got raised hands 3x3, a bunch of other stuff out very quickly, followed up with 7x7 together mode. Now we're onto the leapfrog stuff, like, you know, the more advanced layouts. So that was sort of the three-part arc. Can we scale? How can the team support each other for the long run, including decision-making, where I didn't have that same kind of capital I had in SharePoint? And then third is, yeah, sometimes you can't use the most efficient engineering plan. Sometimes you have to do a natural act.
Whenever something like this happens, one of these big events, I mean, well, I guess we haven't had an event like this, but, you know, when you look back and you can kind of see, you know, when, once we're a year or two past this, or we're, you know, maybe not that far, but at least there's a bit of, we're talking about this whole scenario that we're in right now, this whole world we're in right now in the past tense, that we can do a true postmortem, that people can sit down, you can take a deep breath and you can kind of say, like, you know, how did we get here? But also, like me on the tech side, it's like, you know, we talk about, how do you scale a service with with virtually no notice at all? And you've got to scale it in a way that no one's thought of. And I mean, it was funny, you have these conversations with people and you watch when, you know, our school system, they weren't using Teams, they were using something else, but the county next to us is using Teams. And both of them, when everybody goes live, you could see some stress and it's like, just chill. Yep. Everybody plans to be elastic. Nobody plans for a global pandemic and for everybody to go online on the same day. So it's like, it's going to get fit. They're going to figure it out. And to be completely honest, you notice a little hiccup here and there with different things, but it's been pretty darn impressive
to see
how quickly things have
fundamentally sound. I mean, we made the investments with an eye to Office 365. You know, we have the mindset that if you think about Office and Windows or over a billion users, let's architect our cloud services for a billion users. Not quite there. We're a quarter of a billion, but I remember when we were started and we had our first million and 10 million users and so forth. And we did make these bets in the architecture of scale out as opposed to scale up. You know, we had made, you know, the various mistakes you made in these things about sort of queue backup and so forth early on. So we didn't have to really rewrite anything. It's just we had to get a lot more capacity. And, you know, we got it, I don't know, 95, 98% right. There's some systems where you say, oh, that's a bottleneck. We got to get rid of that. But kudos to the engineering team. They got it almost completely right.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I was, you know, I said to somebody the other day, which was, you know, weirdly morbid, but also I think pretty accurate, is like, this is possibly the best thing that could have happened for teams in a very strange way, right? Like, nobody wishes a global pandemic on the world, of course, but for a piece of software that is designed to bring people together and help them collaborate, I mean, an event like this is a huge forcing function for that. And honestly, I don't feel like it could have come at a better time for teams in terms of scaling the service and getting people on board and getting companies using the software. I mean, of course, we wouldn't do it again if we had the choice, but given no choice, it's a great thing to have happened. And at least from my perspective, you know, you mentioned the cadence of features coming out. And in all honesty, you know, knowing a few people on the team and things and hearing some of what was going on and you know, inside the factory of running so fast to keep up, you know, the duck was swimming quite smoothly across the water while Michael Phelps was paddling underneath, right?
That's funny because I got a nice note. I don't know if you guys know that I worked for Amy Hood for a year. When Satya first became CEO, I worked for Amy running corporate strategy for a year. And she said the exact same thing to me. She said, you guys are like the duck. And we see your feet. Don't worry. And I said, thank you. And we've gotten, to be super frank, a ton of support from Satya and Amy and the Microsoft senior leadership team, because we've had to do some aggressive and unnatural things on that side as well. And they've really been great. You know, it's interesting. I talked to a CIO earlier today, and if I think about this particular company, these companies are on Skype for Business on premises, running their own networks. You know, it's just, and so it did create a crisis for people to route traffic to the Azure front doors, use us for the cloud, do diagnostics of all the stuff they're running in their default image and realize, wow, it can be not just a little bit better, but a lot better if you've got a clean Windows image and you're going to Azure front door and you're letting us run on the back end service with Teams. It's dramatically different. And any vestiges of, well, that's a year transition migration plan. There was enough enterprise companies who said, how fast can you do it? Like, give us 2 weeks. You're like, 2 weeks? We're 100,000 people. I don't think it can be done in 2 weeks. It's like, no, it can be done in 2 weeks. Let's go. Let's do the first 1,000. Then you decide if it's going well and do the next 5,000. And so you see that in the numbers. You know, the numbers that Jared and Nicole quoted today are a little bit old now because we have, you know, like there's, you know, strategy about when we disclose, but, you know, 75 million daily active users, 55 billion daily minutes. You know, it's because millions of people did show up in this interval. And I, you know, that sort of Andrew's mentioning 2016, that was the year we did the Future of SharePoint event. So that was just 4 years ago. SharePoint usage up 10x since probably we last talked.
Yeah.
Not like double, but 10x. And, you know, we're not ready to announce the new wave of numbers because we like when they're interesting and round, but it's pretty, whether it's new sites or users or API calls or blah, 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 it's pretty unbelievable. You know, you're basically talking about doubling every year still. And we've been around for a while.
That was one of the fun things. I mean, you have a conversation with about 2-3 weeks into this, when people started to realize that, you know, we're not going to be opening businesses back up in May and kids aren't going back to school in May and stuff. When we started to notice those things, talking to some companies, and they realized very, very quickly that, you know, these plans that we've talked about, that people have told us that we need to consider about moving to the cloud and kind of opening things up, and we're fine. Like, I talked to one organization that had about 10,000 employees, and they come to find out that everything was on file shares. They decide they want to move everything to up to the cloud. And then they're like, no, we'll just do a stopgap. We're just going to use VPN for a while. And come to find out their VPN completely collapsed over everybody trying to connect to it. And then
you just did my mechanics talk today. I don't know if you've been busy and didn't get a chance to watch it yet, but that was exactly my mechanics talk. We are petabyte each day coming to the cloud, a lot from file servers for exactly that reason, that there's just no way the math works anymore on VPN, besides the fact it's worse collaboration, worse mobility, worse security, and so forth. But that was ultimately the straw that broke the camel's back. And so, you know, we have companies coming to us and saying, can you do 100 terabytes? And we say, yeah, we do that every hour.
You talked about in your blog post today that went out, I think, right around your session or right before your session, where we don't really know what the future is going to hold in terms of like how work is going to look. We don't, but the one thing that does look kind of certain, I mean, you said this, I think it makes a lot of sense, doesn't look like we're going to go back to the model that we had before, that it is going to be much more fluid. You're going to have people, I've heard people say like, oh, companies are never going to go back to being in an office. Everyone's going to be remote. It's like, no, that's not going to be true everywhere. You're going to have a pretty good mix. And some places are going to go back. Some people don't work well from home. It's just not, it's not clicking for them in the either family dynamic or personality type or just the industry that they're in. But it's going to be really interesting to see where things go. One of the questions I wanted to ask you too is, you know, thinking about Teams, thinking about OneDrive and SharePoint and the growth and where things are going. I mean, it's been a hell of a 6 months, and it may not be a fair question to ask right now, but if you had to fast forward 6 months ahead from today and then turn around and look back, what would trigger you to be able to say something along the lines of, I'm most proud that we were able to accomplish blah from where we were back in September? What would be something that would just like, you'd be able to be really proud to see like what we did in Teams or in SharePoint? I mean, I'm not asking for a specific feature or something like that, but
I'll give you a very specific answer. There's a lot going on, and you know, I have in my head, you know, so many things that, you know, we want to do in the next 6 months. But one specific thing is, people are spending a lot of time online doing what we're doing now in the classroom, in meetings, and it's working, but we're past the phase where people are saying, oh my God, this technology is novel, and oh my gosh, we have business continuity. Isn't that great? We couldn't imagine we would. I want to get to the point where people say, this is better. You know, we're doing it, whatever mix of 10 people in a meeting or remote, whether it's one or 10, people say, wow, you know, it was just better. It was a better organized meeting. If I decided to skip the meeting, the information was easy to follow, including the action items. You know, it was engaging, whether I was in person or remote. I'm less tired. Because I think that, you know, we all know this is working, but people are saying in some ways there's I'm getting an extra, I know this is true for me. I'm getting probably an extra half hour to hour to sleep a day in the last 6 months. And I noticed the difference. And so check on the plus side for that. But just about everything else is kind of harder. Success for me is not just saying, woohoo, we went from 5 billion to 10 billion minutes in Teams meetings. Woohoo, you know, we've got the whole planet locked up watching Teams. That's like not success for me. Success is we got more done as a group. We got on the same page and we did it in less time and, was less tired. I hope that you saw some of those in the announcements today. We've got more coming we haven't talked about, but I really hope that we help people have more effective and engaging meetings so they feel better about their time.
Yeah, that's definitely feeling meeting fatigue in this environment, right? Where you spend all day at a screen. You're not having the in-person conversations quite the same way you used to, getting up from the desk at the water cooler and what have you. And so it will be, I think there's a bit of that bounce, right? People are feeling that fatigue and new ways to meet and addressing some of those things will be great.
I thought that some of that, there was a graphic, I think this was in your session, that they showed a meeting fatigue and it was a picture of like brainwaves or attention or something like that. And it showed that the introduction of together mode, which, I mean, I'll be completely blunt, it looked a little gimmicky to me. It was like, okay, you know, doing it for the NBA, I get it. But then you see this data and it's like, no, there's a real reason for this. I can see what the benefit is. This, and it made me think about it in a totally different way this afternoon. You know, it is something that I love your answer about, like, you know, what is success looking back at? Because it's, I mean, yeah, there's tons of tech stuff that we're going to accomplish. There's tons of things that we're going to learn, but how are we going? I mean, now you start to see the discussions about people having more, like the mental challenge that it's having on people and the drag and the fatigue and the burnout phase that people are having that are starting to express that. You see friends that I've got friends that are usually work in the office, and one's in the scientific community, one's in the financial community, and their wives are like, they're working nonstop.
Yeah.
And it's like, because they can. It's like, okay, so the working from home thing, I've been doing it for 10 years. You have to put barriers up. You have to understand where it's okay to stop, because you can work 24 hours a day if you want to, and if you allow that to happen, but you have to find those barriers and where you can, what technology things can actually help you do that, what things can, you know, can you figure out as a group, as an individual, as a team to be able to make that better.
One thing I did that I've never done before that Omar Shaheen encouraged me to do, it was his idea, so I'm not going to take credit for it, but I did it, is tell the entire team when I was going on vacation. You know, go to the team, hey, we're all working hard. There's times where, you know, we have to be here and times where we, you know, we don't, and other people can cover for us. Work up on a plan. We're all here to support each other. By the way, I'm going to the Olympic Peninsula this weekend, and I'm going to the Redwood National Park this weekend. I'm taking a week off for the National Park week and not going to be on email, and you won't see any Teams posts from me and so forth. And I want to make it safe for you to do the same. It seems you have a company like Microsoft that's so intense and so successful. You don't make people work as hard as they're working. Usually you've attracted a set of people who are just wired that way and have a sense of commitment to their customers, their peers, and there was always going to be more work to do. Always, always, always. And so if you wait for the day where there's not more work to do, you'll burn yourself into the ground. This is actually the president of office when I came in, Jeff Rakes, explained this to me, that we actively seek out people who are self-regulating and hope that they govern themselves. And so I felt like it was important for us to our team and say, hey, you all need to take breaks. You all need to set limits. You all need to go on vacations. look, when the NBA's got a playoff game and you're the engineer working on together mode, I'm sorry, that night. I'll tell you what, I will be there with you on call ready in case it doesn't work. But, you know, once we've got it working and we've got you covered with other people in the team, you know, please take a real day off or a week off. Yeah,
that's good. That's good stuff.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework. Back to the show.
Okay, so before we wrap up with you, I gave you a bit of a heads up that we like to do this on our shows. And we gave you a heads up because we did have one guest where we did spring in as a surprise on them and they had nothing and they tried. It was hard. So we do this little segment every episode called Picks. And it's our listeners are familiar with it. And it's always just something fun, something interesting, something, whatever it is, it's something that's usually not terribly related to what we do day to day. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I've got a pick this week. CJ's got a pick this week. Jeff, we'd like to offer you the opportunity to also share your pick with our listeners. Do you have something that you'd like to share with our listeners that you find interesting right now?
Well, I'm really excited for The Mandalorian to come back. I don't know if that's what you're along the lines of what you're thinking of. We can't wait. We're counting the days. You know, we've been watching probably too much TV. And I could sort of go in down the rabbit hole of all the things we've been doing there.
Season two, huh? It's season two of Mandalorian. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched the first one not long ago and I'm glad I waited because now I don't have to wait very long for season two.
So I waited on season one because I had other shows that I was binging at the time and I waited on it. And then I just started seeing the ads coming out for season two. I'm like, this is great. I didn't start Game of Thrones until season four. So I got to just go like crazy, watch Game of Thrones forever, it seemed. And it's like, wait, what's this break?
The other one that is just a great combo that I don't know if you've seen is Fargo with Chris Rock. So the first few, the movie Fargo is great. But the TV shows, they've brought in different people for each one. Really good, really well done. And Chris Rock is in the next one. And so I just can't wait for that.
Awesome.
That seems sounds like good. A killer combination.
I have not seen that one. How about you, CJ? Do you have a pick for us this week?
Yeah, I do. I've got an article by an Australian guy called Alex Hope, who blogged about I quote, this is the name of the article, when you browse Instagram and you find former Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott's passport number. So this is a very long article, but basically it goes into the security or the lack thereof of boarding passes. And you know how people post photos of boarding passes? Turns out there's a whole bunch of passwords in clear text and boarding passes, if you look hard enough, things like frequent flyer mileage numbers.
Really?
You need the person's frequent flyer number plus their last name, and you can go in and edit their booking, for example. You can sort of consider their frequent flyer number a password, right? Also, there's barcodes on them. And so this guy decoded one of the barcodes, and sure enough, there's enough identifying information in there to go jump into this guy's booking. And what's more interesting in the booking, when you go in and look at his flight details, so this is the Australian Prime Minister the ex-Australian Prime Minister at the time, who was flying on a Qantas flight. He logged into the booking page for this flight and thought, oh, I wonder what's in the source of this page, right? As all proper web nerds do, and looked at some of the payloads going back and forth between the browser and the server. And it turns out it was a nice JSON payload that included his passport number and a whole bunch of other really curious information, including phone numbers and all sorts of stuff. So now the article's written in a very hilarious Aussie way as well. So it's pretty entertaining. But he actually took it like a champ. This guy got in touch with Tony Abbott in the end through a bunch of people, and they had a conversation about internet security and all this sort of stuff. And it was a great result in the end. But it's also improved Qantas's security in their booking systems.
Yeah. That just makes me really grateful for a guy in our team. I don't know if you've ever met him or attended his sessions. The head of security for SharePoint is a guy named Matt Swan, who's just unbelievable. And I hope he generally had sessions at these events. I don't know if we did it for this Ignite. But you know, every quarter we sit down and he raises the bar on what we're doing, and it's really, really great. he spends a lot of time talking to customers about their own investments. And, you know, sadly, not everybody is where we are. Not to say we're perfect, but this is a fascinating space.
Yeah. How about you, AC? What have you got for us this week?
Mine is it's a little bit dated. It's a couple weeks old, something I've been holding on to. But, you know, Microsoft released their flight simulator a couple weeks ago, And everyone's going crazy about it. I've yet to play it, but I found this link where there are parts of the game that, you know, uses maps, pulls maps down to show like realistic landscapes and landmarks, but not all the landmarks are present. And so because there is this ecosystem that they've or a third party market that Flight Simulator has set up where you could actually augment stuff, people are going in and they're modeling landmarks that are not in the game and they're adding them to the game with real satellite pictures and stuff that they've been able to find on Google Maps, Bing Maps, and put them in. So it shows, articles kind of show them how they've gone about doing that. So it's kind of cool stuff.
ISPs. Cool.
they did an amazing, amazing job on that game. Holy cow.
It's incredible.
I've only watched the footage, but
it blows my mind that so much of it is cloud-based as well, right? So real-time ATC, air traffic, weather, all of that sort of stuff is really well modeled, and, you know, a ton of it comes from...
There's a trillion, some trillion trees in it, somebody said.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I assume a lot of them are dynamically rendered as opposed to, but still, just having a database that knows about a trillion objects is having built one of those. I know that it's not, and I have a bigger budget than the flight simulator team. Keeping track of a trillion things is no mean feat.
No.
When I saw how this was built, when I saw how, you know, so much of it is streamed online and ATC is the real data coming across from real conversations and other planes in the area, the first thing I thought of, I'm like, really? You're going to release something like that right now when we have this huge draw on the internet today with all the stuff going on? I'm like, is this really the right time we should be doing this? Or it's like, you know.
Oh, well, okay. So I have a real-time pick for you. I think I forgot whether it was the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times today. One of them had a front page article about how people were taking trips to nowhere. They were going to the airport to get on a plane, to fly around and come back to the same place because they just so missed being on planes. And I said, right to breakfast. That's the worst part of, like, I miss going on trips with you and going and visiting my friends and going, you know, to visit customers. But the part in the middle where you're on the plane, like,
if I never see the inside of a plane again, I'll be totally cool with it.
It's been the nicest part of the, okay. So if I had to say the nicest part of this whole thing is, like, I like being other places, but the travel, I don't miss that at all. I don't miss that. I don't miss that a single bit.
So. If I could do it once a quarter I was probably once every 4 to 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Once a quarter would be fine.
That's how
Just when you're doing it every week, a week every 4 to 6 weeks, then you got the week you're out. And honestly, now that I've been home for 6 months, you guys know this. You appreciate the week of recovery, even if it's just a U.S. trip.
Man, on the work side, I feel like I've gotten so much more done because it's like leading up to an event. It's like there's the week of getting ready for the event. Then there's the event itself. And then there's the week or so of, I mean, when I was younger, it was a little bit easier. But now it's kind of like, okay, there's a couple extra days of, you know, getting off the jet lag and getting my energy back and getting my running back and everything. But then eating real food. And then it's also like, oh, there was also that 2 weeks of the other stuff I didn't get done that was all happening while I was getting ready for the event at the event. So, having that back is like, I just feel like I've gotten so much time back. But at any rate.
First SharePoint Saturday, it's safe. Sign me up.
Fair enough. Well,
hey, Jeff, thank you very much for joining us today. I really do appreciate it. I hope our listeners are really going to enjoy this today as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth. It's really great to chat. And let me know how I can help promote it tomorrow.
Absolutely. And,
congrats on finishing your Boston Virtual Marathon as well.
Oh,
out of my mouth.
I don't have I don't have to run in quite the heat that you have to run in. We had a week to do it in, and I changed my plans to do it early because I did go visit some friends for the first time in 6 months. And then the next day, the smoke hit. So the people who were going to do it in the Seattle area who didn't do it the one day in the window we were eligible, which was Labor Day, and waited for later in the week. I know some people who did it on a treadmill.
Oh, my God.
Like, Anyway, so that was great.
Yeah.
Got it done.
Well done.
Congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find out about our show and grow the audience, and we would really appreciate it. If you got a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3 and provide a link to it so that we can play your question on the show. You can also subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, in the Google Play Store, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website, microsoftcloudshow.com. You'll get notices of each new episode, as well as the show notes sent directly to you each week. We'll be back with another episode next week. Thanks for listening.